Welcome to Mattis Avenue Free Methodist Church, where we worship God, make disciples of Jesus Christ, and serve our community and world. The following is a recorded message based on God's holy word. We would love to see you for our worship services on Sunday mornings. For more information, visit www.mattisav.org or call 217-355-5947. And may God bless you.
What a morning. God is doing some great things in our midst, and it's exciting to have all these different things happening. And this is just what we see. Amen? God is at work in our midst and through us in our community. Today's passage from John chapter 10 comes right in the middle of John's gospel, right after a somewhat lengthy story about a man who had been born blind, whom Jesus healed. And this healing of Jesus caused quite an uproar because the man naturally became an evangelist. He wanted to tell people the good news about what had happened in his life and about his healing by Jesus. And this Jesus was the one who had been accused by the Pharisees of not following the Sabbath laws. And the Pharisees knew that because of this, this was kind of a threat to their position and to their power. Because if divine healings happened by someone they were calling a sinner, people would start questioning their authority. In fact, some of them began questioning their authority, and it caused a bit of debate and division on this issue. And they couldn't believe the story this man was telling. They actually told him, "You weren't actually born blind." And they accused him, and they even invited his parents in to ask them questions about the man. And his parents were so afraid of being kicked out of the synagogue for proclaiming Jesus that they just affirmed that, yes, this man had been born blind, and now he could see. And if you wanted to know more details, you should just talk to him himself, because he's old enough, he can speak for himself now. And so the Pharisees did. They brought the man in a second time, and they tried to help reshape his own understanding of what had happened to him, to make him doubt what had happened. And they said to him, "Give glory to God. Don't you know this man Jesus is a sinner?" And we can imagine the man with his hands raised, too excited to participate in their critique. And he says, "I don't know whether he's a sinner. One thing I do know, that I was blind, and now I can see." And they keep asking him for details on how exactly it happened. And finally, we can imagine his mischievous smile as he says, "Why do you want to hear it again? Maybe you want to become one of his disciples." And then, of course, the Pharisees get a little upset, and they declare themselves to be followers of Moses, of course, and the blind man follows Jesus, who must be a sinner. And so they drive him, the blind man, or the man who can see, who was blind, they drive him out of the synagogue because obviously they, the Pharisees, can't be taught anything from him. And when Jesus hears the man had been driven out, he comes to give the man peace that even though he's outside of the synagogue, it's still possible for him to be inside what God is doing through Jesus Christ. And the man believes because of this, and he worships Jesus. And Jesus says to him, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." And when Jesus says the word judgment here, he's not talking punishment. He's literally talking as a judge who is making things right. And some of the Pharisees nearby were asking, "Surely we're not blind?" And Jesus responded to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say, 'We see,' your sin remains." And so this all becomes the lens through which we read today's passage from chapter 10. We're still in the midst of Eastertide right now as a church. We have celebrated and we continue to celebrate Easter and the resurrection and new life. And we are resurrection people. And because we say that, sometimes we even take it a step further. Because we are resurrection people, sometimes it follows that we would think that they are not. Whoever they are in your mind or your social circles. And we can sometimes feel better than they, better than them. Like maybe we can see something that they cannot. But Jesus warns us in our passage today that it is not our understanding of Jesus that is our gate to salvation. Let's read our passage together from John chapter 10. Now, I want to warn you, you won't be able to follow along in your Bible this morning. Jesus spoke, and as sometimes happens, his followers were confused. So Jesus goes back and brings some clarity to what he said. And so I've reordered the verses a bit this morning in a way that I think helps bring out what Jesus is saying. And you are free to disagree, and you can switch it back to the normal order when you preach next time. But for this morning, we'll just take it one verse at a time. We're going to start at verse 6. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. Verse 7. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep." Verse 1. "Very truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit." Verse 8, "All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them." Verse 5, "They," the sheep, "will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." Verse 10, "The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Verse 2, "The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep." Verse 3, "The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." Verse 4, "When he's brought them out, all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice." And finally, verse 9, "I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture." Jesus, we thank you for being our gate. Would you open your word to our hearts this morning? Lord, help us to hear your voice. Amen. So Jesus was using imagery that his followers would have been deeply familiar with, and yet they were still clueless when it came to making some of the connections he was trying to help them see. He was speaking here to some nearby Jews. Some of them wanted to stone him. Some of them wanted to learn more about him, and some of them had already made the decision to begin following him and wrapping their life around what God was accomplishing through Jesus. They were familiar with the ways of shepherds. They were familiar with the behaviors of sheep. And they knew that sheep were sometimes simple, getting lost because they didn't always raise their heads while they were grazing. And yet they were also loyal to their shepherd's call. They would have seen how one shepherd can lead an entire flock of sheep across an open field just by calling out with their voice. They would have heard stories about shepherds surviving attacks. They would have been familiar with the stories of King David as his shepherd days as a boy defending and protecting his sheep. And I want to show a video here that does have sound also. I want to share a video with you that I've used with our teens because I think it's a really good visual reminder of what Jesus is talking about here. Let's watch this video together.
One more time.
Oh, what is
it?
Tick, 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 tick,
I think it's good for us to see that because we're reminded of it in Scripture. We hear the stories, but to actually see it happen, to see different people trying to call the sheep and the sheep just not caring at all, and then the shepherd goes over, and in just one moment, all these sheep start to follow and start to hear and respond. And it's a humbling moment for us if we allow ourselves to ask the question, do we know the voice of our shepherd that well? Do we know the voice of Jesus so well that we can discern by the power of his Holy Spirit when he's calling and when it's the voice of someone else? And a good question for that would just be to let ourselves ask the question, when have you heard the voice of Jesus recently? When have you heard the voice of Jesus recently? How do we know someone's voice? Right? How do we become familiar with anyone's voice? We listen to it and we purposefully practice attending to that voice before all other voices. How do we come to know what the voice of Jesus sounds like? We become familiar with the words that he's already spoken. Right? We become familiar with the entire Word of God, knowing that Jesus is the living Word of God made flesh. We know that all Scripture points toward Jesus, that all Scripture proclaims the words of Jesus and gives us hope that one day all will be fully healed and made new in Jesus and in his life. Listen to the words of Jesus in our passage here as words that come in response to what has happened previously with the Pharisees and the man who had been born blind. Because the Pharisees were trying to discredit Jesus, and they were questioning what God was doing in the man's life, and their power and their influence was threatened. And they were attempting to put themselves before the authority of Jesus. And Jesus is warning these people about false shepherds like this. Because even as the people were familiar with the images of sheep and shepherds, they were also aware that such images were often used to describe kings and citizens of a kingdom. And Jesus was responding to what that whole event with the Pharisees had asked. The question, is Jesus truly one with authority? And at this point, it's helpful for us to pause and examine the metaphor that Jesus is using here. At first glance, it seems like Jesus gets mixed up. Because Jesus says, I am the gate. But then he starts talking about listening to his voice. And a few verses after our passage today, he takes it further and says, I am the good shepherd. So which is it, Jesus? Are you the gate or are you the shepherd? And the answer for us this morning is yes. Right? Jesus had begun by implying he was the shepherd, but now goes even further and says, I am the gate itself. Because Jesus is not just one who comes and cares for the sheep. He is that living gate through which, or through whom, the sheep enter into the fold. Now, over the years, some have figured that this was just something the shepherd did. In a lot of cases, the sheepfold was built such that the entrance could be barred by the shepherd laying across it as he slept at night. And so in this case, literally, the shepherd is the gate. But whether this was one parable where the shepherd fills both roles of caring for the sheep and being the gate, or maybe whether it meant to be two separate metaphors, right? Jesus is both the gate and the shepherd. Either way, the meaning remains that Jesus responds to the questions raised by the Pharisees by saying, yes, he has the authority, but also he is the source of all authority itself. That everyone who had previously positioned themselves before Jesus are thieves and bandits, grasping for something that is not theirs, with only self-serving intentions. And this comes as a great reminder for us today as we celebrate the baptism of several who have joined us for worship and in our local family and in the body, that we are gathered as his flock. And as we're gathered as his flock, he provides and he protects and he unites us together as one. But he's also warning us that there are loud voices in this world, voices trying to gain influence and trying to gain acceptance by saying that all roads can lead to something good. We know that we see books and podcasts or conferences dedicated to helping us discover some mysterious power within us, or the divine healing of nature itself, or whatever other path they're offering. And some of them have echoes of the truth in them. They sound similar to Jesus when they talk about things like love. They sound similar to Jesus when they talk about wanting justice in our world. And they sound similar to Jesus when they talk about wanting peace. But they are not the voice of Jesus. And his sheep know this. They are the voices of those seeking their own gain. They seek to steal what is not theirs. They seek to kill what they cannot control. They seek to destroy what they did not build. And we hear the voice of Jesus, and it is strikingly different from these voices, because Jesus lays down his life for us. Jesus invites us, as in moments of these baptisms, to become those who lay down our lives with Jesus for others. To be those who are rising from the waters of sacrifice and brought to his new life. A new life that seeks to give what we have found. That seeks to proclaim new life wherever the shadow of death is found, that seeks to bring healing wherever sin has brought destruction. And so as his sheep now, who have entered by the waters of this living gate, we listen for his voice and to respond, not just to love, but to love that is sourced in and in the direction of Jesus. Right? Not just to justice, but to justice that is sourced in and follows the lead of Jesus, our shepherd. And not just to peace or hope or anything that someone from our world may try to get our attention with, but only to the things that are sourced in Jesus, in his word, and in his life. I've left a blank there because I believe that it's a little bit different for each of us. That there are things that just grab your heart, that tug at you and say, pay attention to this voice. Because God has wired you to pay attention to that particular thing. And I want you to just bring it before God for a moment this morning and say, God, this is something that stirs my heart. And I want you to ask God what it might look like for that aspect of who you've been created to be completely sourced in Jesus. For you to be stirred in that direction only by the voice of our shepherd. And the good news, there is good news. I mean, all of this is good news. But the good news within the good news today is that our shepherd is not passively waiting for us to hear him, right? He's not staying way removed from his sheep, waiting that we would hear his voice on the hill. He began seeking us long ago, and we believe that he is still seeking us today. He is still seeking every person you're going to go out to live among this week. Listen to these words from Ezekiel chapter 34. For thus says the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep, and I will seek them out. As shepherds seek their flocks when they are among the scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places to which they've been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. Maybe you're here this morning and you've had moments in your life that have made you feel scattered in regards to the things of God. Maybe you have felt like you were stumbling through clouds of darkness. Maybe you feel like you have to hide some part of who you're becoming or what you've done because you worry how our shepherd may respond. But remember the response of Jesus to the blind man in chapter 9. Confess our blindness to him this morning, right? Come to him humbly knowing that it's not our understanding of Jesus, but Jesus himself that accomplishes all these things. And just, it's so good for us to remember this morning that as we're here in Mattis Avenue Free Methodist Church, that as we're here attending to the voice of our shepherd, we're not just here in the presence of facts about Jesus. We're not here talking about the shepherd who exists somewhere else. We are here this morning in the presence of our shepherd who is calling you. Remember verse 3, right? I butchered the order, so just you can turn to it if you need to. But verse 3 says that he's calling you, calling us by name. He's not somewhere else waiting for us to hear him. He has gone out. He has gone to us, come to us this morning, and is calling us by name, knowing our struggles, knowing what has separated us in the past, and saying, come. Come and be near the shepherd. Come and hear my voice. Come, let me provide all that you need. Let's turn to him in prayer this morning. Lord Jesus, we are thankful that you have gone out, that you have pursued each of us. Whether we experienced it long ago and we have known your presence, or whether we are reminded of it in a new way this morning, that you are pursuing us, Lord, not to bring punishment, not to bring vengeance on us, but to bring us back into your fold, to bring us back into your presence, Lord, to make us your flock, your sheep. We listen to your voice. We see you, Jesus, and we hear you this morning. We thank you for the reminders of baptism that we have seen and celebrated this morning. Lord, help us to hear how these moments of baptism call us out of ourselves, call us out into a world where your love can shine brightly, can speak loudly, can invite others who need to know about what you are doing and what you have done. Make us your people again today. We love you, Jesus. We listen to you. Speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand to receive the benediction? go this morning, go this week, knowing that we are sheep who are being called by name, going out into a world that needs to know that God knows its name. Go in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.